When did you last have a meal to mark something special? What was the last kind of big occasion? Were you gathered around the table with people? Yesterday, my godparents had their 60th wedding anniversary meal. So they gathered just shy of 40 people in the Redcliffe Hotel and kind of made room for everyone. So there was kind of a table on the edge. Yes, yeah, squeeze in. And we got everybody in. And that was the kind of last one I could tell. It was just yesterday. But a lovely kind of gathering, thing to celebrate together. Friends, family, people who were special to them that were there. For your one, whatever it was, the last big meal that you had to mark something, who was at the table for your special meal? Who was there room for? So this is Jesus' special meal, knowing that he was going to die the next day. You know that if you had one more meal to eat, what's the last meal you would eat? Well, for Jesus, it was less important what he ate than who he was eating with. We're told in Luke's version of this story, in Luke chapter 22, that Jesus says, I've eagerly desired to eat this meal with you. He was looking forward to this moment of being at the table with these people. And you know, I think it's striking to see who Jesus had room for at the table. The first thing to notice is whose table they are eating at. So we're told in verse 18, a certain man. Jesus tells his disciples, go to a certain man and tell him, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming with my followers to your house. Who is this person? We don't know. And Jesus doesn't kind of ask to come. You know, this kind of idea, which I've probably preached 100 times, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. We hear that in Revelation 3. And anyone who kind of answers and opens the door welcomes him in. But actually, Jesus kind of just announces it. I'm coming. I am coming to your house. Now, we don't know. Was this a prearranged thing? Did Jesus know this person sufficiently well? And they'd already talked. So one day, there's going to be a day where I say I'm coming. And you've just to be ready for me to come with my followers. And this person's like, that's fine, I'll do that. Or was it more sudden than that? Was it that Jesus just kind of, I'm coming to your house. And this person was just to kind of be ready without any warning whatsoever. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that the person said yes. Because Jesus comes to this person's house. It's not just Jesus. He brings his followers with him. And all of them come carting into this person's house to have this special meal together. So I wonder what your experience is of Jesus coming into your life. What's your story of that? Is there an element for you of, well, it's not so much that he asked and I said yes, he just kind of announced himself and then he came. I can think of a few folks' stories where it's felt like suddenly Jesus is kind of here, and before I knew it, yeah, he's here, he's in my life, and he's the central part of my life. And he doesn't just bring himself, he brings his followers. One of the things that I've seen that's been lovely, I think, a few folks that have become Christians in Inverness coming to St. Columba now, is yes, Jesus has come into their life, but also this family that he brings with him, just kind of coming in, and it's all new, and it's a lot to take in, but it's good. But Jesus has just kind of done it. He's just announced himself. Now, there has been a yes from people. Yes, come in. But it's kind of at the door before you know it. Has that been your experience, I wonder? And maybe as you look around, friends you know, family members, people in this community, as you look around, is there any sense of Jesus is just kind of announcing himself here in this person's life? It's good, I think, as God's people to notice where is Jesus perhaps saying, we're going this way. We're going into this person's home and life. Come on and join in with him in that. What could God do with you? What could God do with your home as you open up your table for his purposes? Come back to that thought in a wee minute. But the first thing to notice is, where is Jesus coming in to somebody else's table? Next thing to notice is who Jesus is making room for at what has become his table. So there he is. He's kind of leading the meal, leading the feast. Who's he sitting with? Friends, yes. This is why it's important to him. You are those that have been with me all this time. You've seen the trials we've been through. You've seen the glories. You've seen the troubles, the persecution, and the miracles. You know, there's that bond between Jesus and these guys of, God, we've been through a lot together, haven't we? And so it's special to him to be with these guys. But the truth is, Jesus knows, and he calls it out at this meal, that he's sitting with a betrayer and a denier and several abandoners. So we read about the betrayer in this passage that Roger's read for us, Judas. Jesus knows that he is breaking bread with the man that is going to hand him over to death. Now I wonder, could you hand on heart say, I would have the person round for my significant meal that is going to hand me over to death the next day? They're probably not getting an invite, right? But Jesus, it's important to him to have Judas there. He's been my friend. He's been on this journey. That's remarkable, isn't it? If we read on in the chapter, you can read it later on if you like, you'll see Jesus calling Peter out as the denier at the table. You're going to say three times out loud, you don't even know me. Would you have room at your table for the person that was going to leave that table and tell everyone, I don't know them. I've got nothing to do with them. Well, Jesus did. And he's going to tell all of them, every single one of them sitting at that table, just before he calls Peter out, every one of you is going to fall away on account of me. Fall away. It's quite a strong phrase, isn't it? We use that phrase, fall away, for people that are like, well, you know, they follow Jesus, but they're kind of not really doing that now. They've fallen away. Jesus says, every one of you will fall away from me tonight. That's who he's got at the table with him. And he knows it. That's who he's got room at the table for. Because the thing is, he still loves them. He still loves each of them. And he talks about eagerly wanting to spend time with each of them. Isn't that remarkable? I think it's akin, the best human version of this, I guess it's akin to, is like a parent whose child has you know, really turned their backs on them and you know, maybe even been quite harsh or offensive to the parent, but the parent just loves them. Really, you just would want them at the table. Well, that is what Jesus' love is like for his friends. Jesus is incredibly knowledgeable about all of their failings, past, present, and very immediate future. These are really very deep and shameful feelings that these guys have. Like, we read later of both Judas and Peter feeling great shame and great guilt for their actions. How many of us have, I just feel guilty, I just feel ashamed, and we think it means we can't do this, communion. But Jesus shared it and offered it to Judas and to Peter. See, Jesus is also, as well as being incredibly knowledgeable about failings, he's also incredibly gracious about sharing time and love and food and relationship with all of them, every one of them. And he genuinely wants to do that. I've eagerly desired to eat this meal with you, all of you. If that's how Jesus was with those followers of his, he's also consistently that with you and me too. Some people think, I've not been a good Christian, I can't take communion. Some people think, I've fallen away from Jesus, I can't come to the table. Some think, I've lived such a clear no to Jesus that he won't want me. But to all those who feel any of those things, Jesus just reaches out and offers bread and wine, shared with him and shared with each other. And he says, remember me. Just remember me. It's a lovely two-word phrase to every person who has forgotten him. Just remember me. He remembers you. He offers you still his life and his love and his death on your behalf for the forgiveness of your sins. His resurrection to life, life right now and forever with God. There is room at the table for you to believe these things and to receive these things and eat and drink to celebrate, actually, and remember these things. So will you come? The invitation is to you today. Will you come and will you eat and drink and remember and just accept the loving welcome of the Jesus who is glad to have you with him? One of the things I think sometimes we wonder is, yeah, I can come to the table, I can come to be with Jesus, but am I safe here? Because if he welcomes everyone, who else is he welcoming? And am I safe with those people? Love always involves risk, doesn't it? It's risky to love. But the safest place I've found to love other people and take a risk that they will love me too is in the church, it is around the table, is in the place where Jesus is at the head of the table and where he transforms us all. Because he calls us all out on all of our rubbish and he brings transformation to me. And he brings transformation to who else will come and accept the invitation that I didn't feel safe with before. So all those who come, all those who receive, who repent and come and receive this sign of welcome from Christ for forgiveness, that's the safest place that I can enjoy a meal with other people. Final thing to notice is the space at our own table. So we are people who follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, come follow me. And it involves growing in Christ-likeness and becoming more like him. So if Jesus would welcome such as these to his table, who's welcome at our table? Now we're all good in greater or lesser degrees at having people around that like us and that we like. Probably if you're like me, we make dinner invitations to the same few people that we spend quite a lot of time in life with. And that's fine and that's safe and that's good. But who is welcome at your table? Like literally, in a dinner invitation sense. And figuratively as well, just the time and space in your life. Friends? Friends who are still in your good books. Is there any space at your table for those that you have known who let you down? You see, there's nothing quite so powerful and reconciling as an invitation to dinner. This is what Jesus gives these failures in this passage. Is there any space at your table for those who you've let down? Is there a risk of love you can offer of, would you come and have a meal with me? This space of eating together is reconciling, it's humble, it's gracious, it's healing as people eat together. Especially for you to receive as guests those who have hurt you. This is what our Lord Jesus does. Have you any space at the table for those that the world writes off? For the forgotten and the broken? Who don't get invitations to anybody else's table? Who's at your table? How do you reflect the hospitality and the grace of Jesus Christ? Either literally with your invitation to your table to eat together, or in some sense in the way that you invite them to share life and time and relationship. Is a starting point for you, if that feels overwhelming, shall we get a coffee? Friends, may it be that we learn from this that Jesus always has a space at the table for you. You never need to tell yourself that there's no room for you. There is. May it be that we also consider who we are making room at the table for because of the Lord we have. May we pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are as gracious as you are. It's really mind-bending to think about the kind of welcome that you give to the kind of people that you give it to. And I'm just so grateful, Lord, that you welcome me. You know, my life depends on that. My eternity depends on that. And I'm just so grateful for your welcome. So pray for each of us that we would know that your arms are wide for us. That your arm is actually outstretched for us with bread and with wine to say, eat this, drink this, remember me. Let's eat together. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to that day when that won't just be like a metaphor or a sign, but we will eat with you. We'll be at the table with you in the kingdom of God forever. Lord, I pray that will motivate us, that it would change the way we live our lives right now, and that our hope in that would be full and undimmed as we celebrate it again together today in Jesus' name. Amen.